So I would like to introduce you to the first Zen book I ever read, which is this one, How to Cook Your Life, subtitled From the Zen Kitchen to Enlightenment. That's a bit much. It's a translation of Dogen's Instructions for the Zen Cook. Dogen, for those who aren't familiar with that name, was the Japanese founder of our stream of Zen, of Soto Zen. He went to China and brought this particular way of practice back to Japan. And it's traveled to us. And he did that back in the 13th century. I read this book. I was just trying to see when it was first published, because this is a later edition. Oh, it's not telling me. Huh. I would have read it about 1985. And I think it was pretty newly out then. I read it in Japan. Michael and I were practicing in Kyoto with two priests, a Japanese priest named Shohaku Okumura and an American priest named Tom Wright. This is Tom's translation. Shohaku went on to translate quite a few of Dogen's texts and also to write his own books and commentaries. And he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher who has a center in Bloomington, Indiana now. But this was many years ago in Kyoto, and we were practicing there. And I read this book, and it's still one of my very favorites. It was a little unusual to be practicing Soto Zen in Kyoto because Kyoto was the ancient capital of Japan, and Rinzai Zen actually arrived there first, just not that long before Soto Zen, but Rinzai Zen became established amongst the aristocracy. And by the time Soto Zen arrived, really soon afterwards, there wasn't much of a way in. And so Dogen established his temple far in the mountains on the other side of Japan. And Soto Zen then spread widely throughout the provinces. It became more the Zen of ordinary people rather than the nobility and the samurais. Dogen's practice emphasized zazen, right? Sitting meditation, as a way of manifesting and expressing our true nature, as a way of awakening in each moment of our daily lives, whether sitting or standing or walking, or lying down, or cooking, or eating, or working. And through this direct experience of being present, fully awake in our lives, knowing deeply the reality that everything is impermanent, and that everything exists only in interconnection with everything else. So this text by Dogen, Instructions for the Zen Cook, is called Tenzo Kyokun. Tenzo is the cook in a Zen monastery. And it's considered a very important position that someone with very strong practice should undertake. And the basic message of the text is that cooking food with care and attention is a kind of template for living one's life. We use this text and that core message recently at a day retreat out at our home Zendo, Blue Mountain Zendo out in Mission, for the Monday night Zen U group, and several of the folks here attended. So I hope this won't be too redundant. I don't think so, because we're going to go into more detail with the text. But it was really lovely to see people practicing in that way, not just sitting, but in working and eating and preparing the food and working in the garden. But we thought there's so much more to glean from this text, and also from the commentary. This is also most of its commentary. And the commentary is by Uchiyama Roshi, who is a wonderful 20th century Japanese teacher who was the teacher of Shohaku and Tom, who were leading our group. So there's much more to be gleaned here, so we thought, let's do it for the rest of the summer, or most of the summer. So Dogen began Zen practice, or Buddhist practice, in his early teens, probably just on the cusp of adolescence, having lost both his parents. He ordained in a monastery just outside Kyoto on a mountain. It was in what was called Tendai, which was the dominant type of Buddhism at the time, but in which there were a whole lot of different practices. There was sitting meditation, there were chanting, esoteric practices. It was very eclectic. And he decided eventually to leave when he was around 20, and he moved to the very first Rinzai Zen monastery to be established in Japan, in Kyoto, so that he could practice Zazen more, learn more about practicing Zazen. And being a very keen and determined young man, he decided that he would go with his teacher to China, to the source of the Zen tradition. So when he was 23, he went to China, which in those days was a very dangerous sea voyage. His teacher died there, and he stayed on for a total of 5 years and met the teacher from whom he brought this to learned this particular tradition and way of practice and brought it back. But in the course of his travels in China, he was deeply moved by the practice of particularly one, but more than one, old Tenzo, or cook, that he met. And he tells those stories in the text. But he didn't write the text until later, once he established his own monastery, when he was about 37, to share with his monks. So I thought we could read it together. It's nice to read aloud. It's not something we do that much in this day and age, and hear it spoken. So everybody has one. Let's start reading and take turns. And I'll have somebody read a couple of paragraphs and then pause, and I'll make a few comments as we go. How's that sound? So we'll just go around person by person. If you would rather just pass and not read, just say, "I'll pass," and the next person can take a turn. So Jan, could you read the first couple of paragraphs? I'll stop you when it's time.
From ancient times, in communities practicing the Buddhist way, there have been six offices established to oversee the affairs of the community. The monks holding each office are all disciples of the Buddha and all carry out the activities of a Buddha through their respective offices. Among these officers is the Tenzo, who carries the responsibility of preparing the community's meals. It is written in the Chanyun Qinggui that the function of the Tenzo is to manage meals for the monks. This work has always been carried out by teachers settled in the way and by others who have aroused the bodhisattva spirit within themselves. Such a practice requires exerting all your energies. If a man entrusted with this work lacks such a spirit, then he will only endure unnecessary hardships and suffering that will have no value in his pursuit of the way.
Okay, that's a good place. So he's going to be quoting this old Chinese text a lot. You'll hear him over and over. The Chan Yuan Qingwe. That's, I'll attempt the pronunciation. And he's saying, put your awakened mind to work, making a constant effort. And arouse your bodhisattva spirit. So you're really doing this work of preparing meals to nourish others. Bodhisattva is the being that practices to awaken in order to help others awaken, in order to help others be free from suffering. So even such a mundane thing as cooking, you know, we think, oh, cooking, it's just, you know, it's a chore. But the spirit here is to really nourish others so that they can be healthy and practice themselves. Carmen, you want to keep going?
The Chanyin Kingai also says, put your awakened mind to work, making a constant effort to serve meals full of variety that are appropriate to the needs and the occasion, and that will enable everyone to practice with their bodies and minds with the least hindrance. Down through the ages, many great teachers and patriarchs, such as Guishan, Lingyu, and Dongshan Suchu, have served as Tenzo. Although the work is just that of preparing meals, it is in spirit different from the work of an ordinary cook or kitchen help. When I was in China, I taught my spirit to many old people who had experience working in their work. What they had to say must surely be the marrow of what has been handed down through the ages by previous Buddhas and patriarchs settled in the way. We should thoroughly study the Chanwan Kingdom concerning the overall work of the Tenzo, and moreover, listen closely to what those who have done this work have to tell us regarding the details.
That's good, thank you. Okay, so one thing as we read this, just note if there's any sort of phrase that kind of resonates for you or jumps out. Unfortunately, I was going to bring out our box of pens, but it seems to have suffered from attrition, and there aren't anywhere near enough pens to go around. But it's nice to be able to just kind of check. So do that in your mind as we read. Anything that strikes you, any phrase. I want to point out that the actual word for great teachers and patriarchs is not patriarchs, it's ancestors. It is gender neutral, and so this is not a felicitous translation. It's just ancestors, although certainly the list of ancestors at that time would have been all males. That's something that's been rectified just recently, is to honor and include the female ancestors as well. So imagine this young man, you know, he's in his early 20s, wandering around talking to these old Tenzos, and old in those days would have been probably in their 60s. Okay. Allison, want to read the next couple paragraphs?
I shall now take up the work of the Tenzo covering a period of one complete day. After the noon meal, the Tenzo should go to the Suju and to get the rice, vegetables, and other ingredients for the following morning and noon meals. Once he has these, he must handle them as carefully as if they were his own eyes. Ren Yang of Baoneng said, use the property and possessions of the community as carefully as if they were your own eyes. The Tenzo should handle all food he receives with respect, as if it were to be used in a meal for the emperor. Cooked and uncooked food must be handled in the same manner. Next, all the officers meet in the kitchen or pantry and decide what food is to be prepared for the following day, for example, the type of rice gruel, the vegetables, the seasoning. In the Chanyuan Qinggui, it says, when deciding on the amount of food and number of side dishes for the morning and noonday meals, the Tenzo should consult with the other officers. They are the Suzu, Tanzu, Fusu. When they have chosen the meals, the menus should be posted on the notice boards in front of the abbot's room, as well as in front of the study hall.
Thank you, that's good. So imagine, he's just talking, he's not even talking about handling the food yet, he's talking about handling the pots and utensils as if they were your own eyes. And handling the food, cooked or uncooked, with respect. Imagine if we handled, if we were that careful in our kitchen, handling everything with that much care. These officers would have been typical in a monastery, and you don't have to really worry about them. But they tend, for example, administrators, treasurer. The Ino is in charge of the monks and the Zendo, the Tenzo, the cook, and the Shisui is kind of maintenance, building maintenance, that kind of thing. So it's very, to me it's kind of interesting that the cook actually consults with all these other people in terms of meal planning. So any Tenzo will tell you that it makes a difference how much people eat, depending on how warm or cold it is, or how hard they're working, or how young or old the people are. Right, Michael?
That's right.
And sometimes you're surprised by how much rice people eat, more than you expected. Michael has been our Tenzo for quite a while. He's training up some new ones, but yeah. So it's when you're feeding large numbers of people, you need to be aware of a number of factors. What's available in the garden? How much money there is for things that you have to buy? Okay, how about the next time sheet?
When this has been done, preparation for the next morning's meal may begin. You must not leave the washing of rice or preparation of vegetables to others, but must carry out this work with your own hands. Put your whole attention into the work, seeing just what the situation calls for. Do not be absent-minded in activities, nor so absorbed in one particular matter that you
So imagine doing your work in this way, with your whole attention, not being absent-minded, not being so absorbed in one aspect that you fail to see the other aspects, not overlooking one drop in the ocean of virtue. Let's keep going. Frida?
Again, in the Chanwan Qinggui, we find if the Tenzo offers a meal without a harmony of the six flavors and the three qualities, it cannot be said that he serves the community. When washing the rice, remove any sand you find. In doing so, do not lose even one grain of rice. When you look at the rice, see the sand at the same time. When you look at the sand, see also the rice. Examine both carefully. Then a meal containing the six flavors and the three qualities will come together naturally.
Yeah, that's good there. Okay, so just for your information, the six flavors are bitter, sour, sweet, salty, mild, and hot. So mild is a flavor in this scheme. And the three qualities are light and flexible, clean and neat, and conscientious and thorough. Now you may think, that sounds like six qualities. But each of those pairs is a compound of Chinese characters. So they're three pairs, in fact. Light and flexible, clean and neat, conscientious and thorough. So we could apply those to pretty much many other kinds of work as well, huh? And then he starts to talk about cleaning rice, washing rice, and looking at both the sand or the grit and the rice. So he's talking about more here than rice and grit. He's talking about the rice and grit of our lives. You know, the part we want, the part we don't want, the part we want to throw away. And he's saying, look at both. Look at both. Only through looking at both can you make a careful decision, make a careful meal. If we only pay attention to what we want and are too quick to hurl away what we don't, we might throw away that one grain of rice along with the grit, or more. So then he tells a story about rice and sand. Remick?
Su Feng Yiquan was once the Tenzo under Dong Shen Ling Ji. One day when Su Feng was washing the rice, Dong Shen happened to pass by and asked, "Do you wash the sand and pick out the rice, or wash the rice and pick out the sand?" "I wash and throw away both the sand and the rice together," Su Feng replied. "Then what on earth do the residents here eat?" Dong Shen pressed again. In reply, Su Feng turned over the rice bucket. On seeing that, Dong Shen said, "The day will come when you will practice under another master."
Okay, that's good. Thank you. So, what do you think that means? In the commentary, Uchiyama Roshi kind of makes it. He says he kind of thinks that that basically it's about what I just said, that we have to look at both the rice and the grit in our lives. But he's kind of saying that. When Dongshan said, "The day will come when you will practice under another master," he's saying Dongshan felt that Shui Feng was getting a little carried away by turning over the rice bucket, because obviously the monks do have to eat. But let me just read you what Uchiyama Roshi comments about this. He says, "Dogen did not intend that we get rid of all the delusions, fantasies, or thoughts that come into our heads during zazen. Yet, if we go around pursuing these thoughts, we are sitting in the zazen posture thinking, and not actually just doing zazen. Trying to get rid of our thoughts is just another form of fantasy. Zazen, understood as mind being innately one with all phenomena, is a means of seeing all things from the foundation of pure life, wherein we give up both pursuing thought and trying to chase it away. Then we see everything that arises as the scenery of our lives. We let arise whatever arises and allow to fall away whatever falls away. So this sort of references back to Dogen saying, when we see both the sand and the rice, then a meal containing the six flavors and the three qualities will come together naturally. Seeing clearly whatever arises. Read just a little more, because he continues to give a few more details about washing rice. David? In the same way.
In this same way, the greatest teachers from earliest times who were severed in the way have carried out their work with their own hands. How are we inexperienced practitioners of today able to remain so negligent in our practice? Those who have come before us have said, the way-seeking mind of a Tenzo is actualized by rolling up your sleeves. In order not to lose any of the rice when picking out the sand, do it carefully with your hands. Again, in the Chanwan Kwiji, we find, pay full attention to your work in preparing the meal. Attend to every aspect yourself so that it will turn out well. Next, you should not carelessly throw away the water that remains after washing the rice. In olden times, a cloth bag was used to filter out the water when it was thrown away. When you have finished washing the rice, put it into the cooking pot. Take special care lest a mouse accidentally falls into it. Under no circumstances allow anyone who happens to be drifting through the kitchen to poke his fingers around or look into the pot.
So, he's even looking out for little creatures that might fall in, right? And watching for people poking around in the pot. So I love this, the way-seeking mind of a Tenzo is actualized by rolling up your sleeves. Mm. Okay, one more. Ursula?
Prepare those vegetables that will be used in a side dish for the following morning's meal. At the same time, clean up the rice and leftover soup from the new meal. Conscientiously wash out the rice container and the soup pot, along with any other utensils that were used. Put those things that naturally go on a high place onto a high place, and those that would be most stable on a low place onto a low place. Things that naturally belong on a high place settle best on a high place, while those which belong on a low place find their greatest stability there.
And one more little, that one, next little bit.
Clean the chopsticks, ladles, and all other utensils. Handle them with equal care and awareness, putting everything back to its natural beings. Keep your mind on your work and do not throw things around carelessly.
There, that's a good place to stop. Do not throw things around carelessly. So how many of us really move around our kitchen in this way and put things back, always put things back?
I do.
Good. I can't claim to always do that.
Take it further. I clean the whole surface area. When I finished with one implement, mm-hmm. I wash it and I put it away in the process of cooking. Mm-hmm. And I have everything in a row so that it flows.
It's really interesting to watch, you know. And I'm sure we could look at 10 different cooks and see, you know, 10 different variations on this. But certainly there are ways to move and organize the materials in a way that it flows. So it's something to to consider, not only in, of course, cooking, but in our lives. What would it be like if our lives were like that, just present with body and mind? I wonder if we would feel more gratitude for simple things and more moments of just this, just being aware of this moment. Uchiyama Roshi says, the Tenzo Kyokun is a cookbook on life. But what is the basic ingredient with which we prepare this life? For Dogen, it was nothing other than zazen. Religious life, he uses the word religious life, we could also say spiritual life or, you know, life of our practice, comes into existence by our asking how we can live with zazen as the standard for our lives, while in turn being protected by zazen. Looking at it from a slightly different angle, our life of practice becomes vital when zazen begins to function in our everyday activities. Just how zazen functions and guides us in a down-to-earth way is what this text is about. So, I thought we could get into groups of three or so. We'll see how many we are. And consider how zazen has begun or could begin to function in your everyday life. As he says, you know, how does zazen sort of provide that, set that standard of functioning in every, going out into your daily activities? So that question, how does zazen begin to function in your everyday life? And also, just if you want to just take note of anything that struck you from the text, anything that particularly resonated that you're going to maybe take away with you. So what we'll do,